This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
This is a podcast called 25 Whistles Talking Football, and they all wear a whistle. Yeah, it's stupid, but what did you expect? It's a podcast called 25 Whistles.
25 Whistles, presented by DraftKings Fantasy Sports. Check out what DraftKings has to offer this season with the code BOBBYSPORTS, because life's more fun when you're in on the action. DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void or prohibited. See DraftKings.com for details. Now, this is a special Christmas episode. This is not a rerun. We did a couple really cool best ofs, but this is not a rerun. I bought these cards, Kevin, called Sport Trivia. The problem is some of the sports on here are from sports I don't even know what that is.
That's
not lacrosse.
No, cricket.
Okay,
that is cricket.
So this could be a disaster game here.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it.
Okay, you take these. Don't read any questions yet. Reed, I'm going to give you these.
Oh, geez.
Pass those over to Reed, please. And then I'll take these.
Okay.
And let's keep score. First one to 10.
Let's go.
Buzz in it when you know your name. Bobby.
I was like, I know my name.
Buzz in with your name. I'll tell you what, we'll do 10 rounds.
Okay.
But that way, everybody, it's even.
Okay.
Okay, ready? I'll go first.
Yep.
Commemorating a French World War I pilot, by what name is the French Open commonly referred to?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I see some of these are going to be tough. I know this one only because I had a friend who played the French Open, but that's the only reason I wouldn't know it otherwise. It's a sports fan because I don't watch tennis.
I don't have any friends who played in the French Open. Only Australian.
It's a sport, or is it part of a sport?
Commemorating a French World War I pilot. By what name is the French Open commonly referred to?
Jean Francois.
Love it. Not right. Reed, if you have no idea, you're not going to get it. You're not going to randomly guess.
Just say a French name.
Yeah, no.
Roland Garros.
Yeah.
Nope, no clue.
Never heard of him.
Go ahead, Kevin.
All right. Who won the inaugural World Cup in 1930?
Bobby, I don't know. Brazil.
Nope.
I'm going to go, I was going to say Africa. It's not Africa.
Why is that funny?
I don't know, because I feel like that's so wrong. I'm going to go Africa.
Okay, it's wrong. Uruguay.
Okay, see? Go ahead.
Okay, geez. Here we go. All right. What is Rocky Marciano's
Bobby.
Real name?
John Marciano.
Nope.
Kevin?
Don't
let him see the card there, Reed.
Bob.
Nope.
What is it?
It is Rocco Marciano.
Okay, we got none so far.
Dang.
It's going to be a long one.
This could suck.
Maybe right. Five.
Next up, one down. In which country is the famous Eden Garden Stadium located?
Oh.
Reed. Greece.
Incorrect.
Kevin. England.
Incorrect.
Dang.
Everybody knows it's India.
Right, I would never guess.
Go ahead, Kevin.
What term is used when a player achieves three strikes in a row.
Strike out, Bobby.
Wrong.
What? What sport
no,
is this?
No hitter Reed.
Wrong.
Oh, dang it.
Turkey?
Oh, bowling.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't know.
Oh, it's
God. Three strikes.
Oh, hold on a second. Oh, it says it up here. And I got like 10 cricket questions in a row.
I got all bowling.
Okay, whatever you have, ask that one whatever you have. Okay. And then we'll eliminate the crappy ones.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Got it. Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
This one, all right, y'all better be ready here.
Don't say that kind of crap, because just ask the question.
What does TKO stand
Bobby,
for?
Technical knockout.
Yep. Dang. That was, dang. Nice.
Okay, so that's two rounds. Unless it's a sport that we know, football, baseball, okay. Basketball, you can have, if it's an American sport, okay. NASCAR, tennis is okay.
Cool.
Bobby won, everyone else, zero.
Yes.
But we won't do two, because there's a lot of tennis in a row. You can only do one. Yeah.
I think they needed to be shuffled.
Yeah, instead of pulling out of the box. That's how you know I had no idea. Yep. All right. Sheesh. Ready? The category is football. Which country was the first World Cup? Oh, football, soccer.
I was going to say, okay.
Which country was the first World Cup host to get knocked out of the first round of the competition? Japan? Switzerland? South Africa? USA?
Kevin.
Kevin.
Switzerland.
Incorrect.
Reed, South Africa.
Correct.
Yeah! Come on, baby!
Dang.
I'm not going to do any soccer football.
I love the multiple choice.
Oh, this has multiple. Okay, so I thought you were just making up countries as you were going. I was like, that's pretty good. But there's actually multiple choice ones.
This is the worst trivia box ever because I need some of your cards. Because all I have is international football and tennis. Just give me something. Don't read them.
Where we play easy trivia.
That's right.
Yes, yes.
Okay, go ahead, Kevin, category.
Baseball.
Yeah.
In baseball, the position known as one is for which player?
Bobby.
Yep.
Position known as one, what do you mean? O and E or one?
So, you know, there's nine people in the field?
Uh-huh.
So, each position has
pitcher.
A number. Yep.
Yeah. Correct. Because one, I think, would be first base, but it's pitcher because one, 6-4-3, double play, six, shortstop, one. Got it.
Nice.
Okay. Reed, you're up.
Okay. All right. What is the diameter of an ice hockey pop? Puck. Puck. Jesus.
Is he having a stroke?
Of an ice hockey puck in inches. In inches.
Kevin. 1.1 inches.
Bobby's measuring over here.
You said 1.1?
Yeah.
I'm going to go.
Diameter.
Six.
Wrong. 3 inches.
I measure everything a little bigger.
I was waiting for that joke.
Yeah, thank you. No, you weren't. All right. Next up. I'm mixing them up. We should do this every time. Just mix them up. Category is motor racing.
Oh.
How many points do you get for winning a NASCAR race? Multiple choice?
Can I phone a friend?
No, Morgan. Do you know Morgan? All right. Here we go.
Okay. Go ahead.
A, 40. B, 50. C, 60. D, 80.
Kevin. 50.
Incorrect. Reed,
60.
Incorrect. Would you guess 40? That'd have been 40.
Yeah. Dang.
All right, Kevin.
Golf. How many golf clubs is a player allowed in their bag for a round?
Bobby.
Reed.
Go ahead.
13.
Wrong.
Dang.
14.
Yep.
Oh, come on, baby.
I always forget my putter.
Reed's got two?
No, one.
What?
Two?
He's two.
Oh, he's got South Africa. Oh, my God. If Reed wins this.
2-2, Kevin.
Zero.
Right, Reed, go ahead.
Oh, here we go. All right. Touchdowns were originally...
Bobby.
Worth 4 points with the introduction of scoring in 1883, but in what year,
Kevin,
did the value increase to 6 points?
Stop, you have to stop reading the question when we yell our name.
Kevin.
Oh, sorry. It's multiple choice.
But. He already yelled his name.
Okay.
Let's go again.
Okay.
Read the question. Read all of them. We'll buzz in when we think we know. But when someone buzzes in, you have to stop reading the question.
Okay, got it.
You should have screwed me at the beginning when I buzzed in.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Touchdowns were originally worth...
No, just give us the years.
You said restart.
Okay. The years. Go ahead.
1892, 1902, 1912, 1922.
Kevin, 1922.
Wrong.
1912.
Correct.
Dang.
I just was going to let you take the 1-4 shot and think there's only a 25% chance you could get it, and then hopefully I could get that 33% chance. All right, next up.
It's round 5.
The category is golf. If a ball is hit dangerously, what number should you shout?
Reed.
Reed.
Four.
Correct.
Dang. I'm up.
Four.
Okay. Are we doing bowling?
It's up to you.
No, I mean, okay. I would not know anything about.
Oh. I'm trying to find ones that will at least kind of know the answer to.
All right, baseball.
Yeah.
Who won the World Series in 2012? There's multiple choice here. Tigers, the Giants, the Cardinals, or the New England Patriots?
Reed, Cardinals.
Wrong.
So I'm now 50-50. That would be before I moved to Nashville. Giants.
Correct.
Dang. There we go. All right. Who was the NBA championship trophy named after in 1984?
Bobby. O'Brien.
Can you say first name?
Davey O'Brien. Danny O'Brien. What is it?
Larry O'Brien.
Oh! Yeah. Who does that go to?
Mike, hold on, because I didn't mess it up. Point? But I did say the last name, and he said, "Do you have to say first name?"
Yeah, Reed should have given you an answer.
That's a tough one.
What's the Davey O'Brien? Oh, it's football. Davey O'Brien.
Yeah,
football. But I did say O'Brien.
I think you said it first. Would you have got it if he didn't say O'Brien?
Yeah. I said Larry.
Let's just throw it away. Let's just throw it away. I won't even take it. Although,
my bad.
Last name. Yeah, I would have given it to you.
Okay, but redo another one.
What is unique about both the New York Knicks and the Boston Celtics?
Loser fans.
Correct.
Great fans.
Say it again.
What is unique about both the New York Knicks and the Boston Celtics?
They both play in the Garden.
No. It was kind of tough.
What's unique about the Celtics and the Knicks? They Robert Parrish.
No.
What?
They are only they're the only original teams in the NBA that are located in their original city.
That's tough. That's hard.
Yeah, that was tough.
Matt Square Garden. I mean, that's pretty good though. Gardens.
The garden, right? That's gotta be it.
All right. Mike, how many rounds is that?
This is going into round 6. Bobby, 4. Kevin, 0. Reed, 3.
I'm not going to do motor racing for you guys unless you want it.
Motorboating?
You don't want motor racing, do you?
No.
Okay. Baseball. Before a batter gets out, how many strikes do they get?
Reed.
Yep.
2.
What's happening here?
I don't know.
What's happening here?
I don't know.
You ever watch sports? Sports ball?
No.
Kevin?
Before they get out.
How many? Before a bat? Yeah, how many strikes can a batter get before they get out?
2.
See, I read that wrong. It's 3, isn't it?
It's 3.
See, I read that as like how many strikes can they get?
3 strikes, you're out.
I know, but like 3 strikes and then you're out. I read it as like
how many strikes can a batter get before being out?
See, I read it as you get 2 strikes and then you got one
more
chance.
That's the easiest question in this whole game.
See, I didn't expect it to be that easy.
Yeah. Go ahead, Kevin.
We both interpreted it the same.
It does make sense. You said 2 then and you're not as stupid. You're just misunderstood.
Yeah. But he said 2 after me. And mine was wrong.
And he said the same thing I was going to
get. But I thought you were saying like, okay,
it changed for Kevin.
How many, baseball, how many field positions are
Bobby.
There? Oh, man.
9.
Yeah. Yep. He wins.
That's the last question.
That's 5, right?
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, are we going through all the way
No,
through?
We're not going through 10.
We're doing 10 rounds?
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
It's round 6.
All right. Who won the Super Bowl? What number is that?
Roman numerals?
Yeah, freaking.
Just read the numerals.
I don't know. It's freaking XLV3 in 2014.
28?
50? 40? 32? What year?
Whatever. Who won the Super Bowl in 2014? Multiple choice.
Yep.
The Ravens.
Seattle Seahawks. Denver Broncos. New England Patriots.
Patriots, yeah.
Well, buzz in.
Patriots, Kevin, Patriots.
You can have that one.
Yep, Patriots. That's there it.
All right. I think I won. That went
no, right. It's not. No, it's not.
Oh.
It's not the Patriots.
Nice. The Ravens?
Nope.
Who is it?
Seahawks.
Seahawks.
Dang, got them.
Patriots were 15 when they beat Seattle.
All right. Well, boys,
That's fun.
This wasn't a very good Christmas present for our listeners.
I got 3 points.
Yeah, that was
final score. Bobby 5, Reed 3, Kevin 0.
0.
Oh my God.
That was bad.
You said 2 after he said 2.
I know.
And we laughed at him.
Maybe if I say it a little different, I'll get it right.
I thought you were saying, like, he got it right. What is going on here? You know what I mean?
That's what I thought at first, too.
Yeah.
But you also thought 2 strikes and you're out.
No.
No, I didn't think.
One more strike before you're out.
I don't know about that. All right, look.
We'll talk to Coach Mike Nabors. Great interview. Love that dude. Right now, though, NFL fans, time to unwrap nonstop football action. Let's go. Holiday season, big-time matchups, DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Let me encourage you to get in on the parlays. Let me encourage you to go. And anything you've heard us say or do, do the opposite.
Yes. Give yourself that gift.
Have we hit one?
This season?
Yeah.
Yeah, early on.
I think week 2 was the last one.
I don't know how many episodes of misses we have. It's unbelievable. It's more unbelievable than when I hit like 11 in a row last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is just the equaling out of life.
Yeah.
And odds.
Yeah.
So that's what's up. Do same game parlays. Bowl season's awesome because I feel like I can watch the games. And as the games are being played, I can determine what's going to happen. I can see the vibe.
Yeah.
When I can see a vibe, I love doing in-game betting. I love doing same game parlays. But DraftKings Sportsbook is what we use, what it's all about. You know, all you have to do is go over, put in the code BOBBYSPORTS if you're a new user, download the app, code BOBBYSPORTS, 21 and up in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel? It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
All right, now let's go over and talk to Arkansas women's basketball coach Mike Nabors. Really liked this interview because this dude reads a lot of books. And I thought it was pretty cool how he said he tested his reading, you know, a few years back, and it was like an eighth grade reading level. And he's like, okay, I got to get better. And then he figured out how to read faster, and now he reads everything.
Yeah, he's a super interesting guy.
Really interesting guy. Here he is, Coach Mike Nabors.
Coach, thanks for having us today.
Welcome to the house.
Thanks. Your office is, you got a corner office? You got a bathroom in the office?
Yeah.
Didn't know we were dealing with that elite of status here.
I'm not sure that's what it is. But for a guy that went to school here, that view of Bud Walton
Yeah,
Arena,
that's awesome.
Every single day, man, you can't beat it.
Whenever I talk to somebody who coaches at their alma mater, I'm always genuinely curious if they think their love of the school can be soured if it doesn't go right professionally.
Yeah, scared to death that it could happen that way.
Because I'm assuming it was absolutely no doubt you're going to be the coach. You want the job.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
But a little bit was like, man, if this sucks and I don't do well, then how do I even like still love it?
Yeah. It hadn't gone away either. That
really?
Was 7 years ago. Yeah. I mean, it was a no brainer. I was in a dream job, a good job at Washington. But when the opportunity came, like you said, it was home. It was what I dreamed of. I wanted to be a Razorback player and I was never good enough at anything, but coaching was the opportunity. And I think about it every single day I wake up. And you know, the other part for me is I'm a fan of our other 18 sports, just like every other fan in Arkansas. And then I'm also colleagues in one sport. So, but no, it was a great fear. I talked it over with all of my family, especially my close family. Like, you understand that there has never in the history been a basketball coach retire from the University of Arkansas? And they were like, well, what do you mean? I said, they've all been told.
Right.
That's me. It could be me. And most likely probably will be. Are we good with that? And we all said, yeah. I said, if I get to be the coach here for one day, it will have been worth it.
I mean, that'd be the coolest thing, getting hired and like getting walked into your office and like, this is now your program at your school.
Yeah.
Do you remember that day?
Yeah. I stood right there and looked at that view and it just washed over me. I mean, it hit me like, because I'd said it from a very young age, I wanted to be a Razorback. And I was not good enough at any sport. But then it became, I want to be a Razorback coach. And when it came, it hit me. I stood right there and cried by myself because of the overwhelming, how many people helped me get here, how lucky I know for everything to line up like it was. So I don't spend one single day taking for granted how important it is, how valuable it was. But also, I try to hit the ground running every day so I get to be here as long as I possibly can.
So when you say you went to school here, but you weren't good enough to play for the Razorbacks, did you play a lot of like ball in the rec?
I did. Yeah.
Did you dominate that?
Yeah. I tried out for baseball, but Coach DeBrian cut me. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. I played a little baseball at West Ark and came up here and I thought I had a pretty good day. I've told the story, Coach DeBrian, in the room many times, but he came walking across the diamond there and I thought, I'm getting ready to be a Razorback. I hit it good in the cage and I'd picked it pretty good in the field. And he walked up and he put his arm around me and said, Neighbors, you're a good boy. He said, Coach Crowder was right. That was my junior college coach. Coach Crowder was right. He said, you really understand the game. You know when to be and where to be. You just can't quite do it. He said, you ever thought about coaching? And I said, yeah, as soon as my playing days are over, I'm going to go right into coaching. And he kind of patted me on the butt and he goes, that's today.
Coincidentally,
here we are.
Yeah.
Did you think at all about trying to play ball somewhere else when you got cut here?
No. It was Razorbacks or nothing for me. I had some small college offers to play basketball. I was better at basketball. I was probably a little better at baseball. Basketball was my love. Maybe I thought about it, but it wasn't going to be the same. If it couldn't be Razorbacks for me, it wasn't going to be anything.
Who were the guys that for you? Because for me, it was Oliver Miller, Todd Day, Lee Mayberry, like my young years, super instrumental in me being a Razorback diehard fan. Like when I say that to you, who are those guys?
The other triplets, Marvin Delph, Ron Brewer, Sidney Moncrief, and really that whole team. So like if you come in my Razorback room in my house, I've got all those guys' jerseys. I've got balls. I've got sweatbands I've collected over the years. Those were the people that I've stayed up late to watch the replays of. You know, the tape delays before we had VHS and all those different things. So those were my guys on the basketball, but Ben Cowens in football, that Orange Bowl team, Roland Sales, Ron Calcagni, Dan Hampton, you know, Kevin McReynolds in baseball. Those were more when I was starting to get older and wanting to be here. But I've idolized a number of coaches and players and, you know, now every sport.
When you started, Coach, did you ever feel – because I was talking about this with my wife. Like, you know, I always say I can do it, but deep inside I'm like, I don't know if I can do it.
Yeah.
When you first started, did you kind of feel like
– Yeah, every day. Every day. My first job was a swim coach at Bentonville High School. I missed a meeting early in the summer because I didn't have an email account set up yet. And they had sent out emails for all these coaches to come to this meeting. Well, I didn't know about it. Well, they made me the swim coach. Well, first of all –
Did you have any experience –
I can't swim.
Okay.
I'm not, so not only did I not have any experience as a swim coach, I didn't have the ability to even jump in the water and do
show
anything.
Show them, yes, yeah.
But fortunately at Bentonville, they had a person hired through Walmart who did all the instructing, and I just needed to be the school liaison to show up. And so they said, hey, yeah, you know, you be there at 4:30 and it's year round. I'm like going, well, I can't do it at 4:30. I got basketball practice at 3:30. And they said, no, the other 4:30. The
oh
AM
my
one.
Gosh.
Because
that's like
when
hours.
Swimmers swim. Ugh. So I was at the swim auditorium and my first swim meet I ever saw, I actually coached. So every day, and still to this day, I always worry I'm doing it wrong. I always worry. We were talking about imposter syndrome before we were on here. I certainly have had that a number of times. And, you know, when I first got to be a head coach, one of my first coaching jobs was I was coaching this Tar Vandiver, who's won over 1,000 games, and I'm going game one, you know. So I still have that. I hope that's normal. I don't know that it is, but for me, my greatest fear is always that I'm not doing it right, or maybe I can't, but try not to let that show. I try to put on a confident smile and do the best I can, but it's a scary profession, but it's fun.
Were you a decent swim coach, even though?
I was an unbelievable swim coach.
Yeah, yeah, let's go.
Hey, yes. I got a state championship ring.
No way. That's hilarious.
Yeah, I got it sitting right over here someplace. Yeah, so, right here it is, right there.
And what do you credit that to?
The unbelievable swimmers that were at that school at that particular time. And okay, me not messing them up.
But still, okay, but that there's a skill to not messing something good up.
Yeah.
Just as much as there is making something good that maybe isn't as good as it possibly could be.
Sure.
You didn't mess it up.
No. I went in and, you know, it was kind of an Olympic sport. It wasn't one that got a lot of newspaper coverage. But I've been coaching basketball, so I called my newspaper writers and I said, hey, have you not followed the swim team? They're amazing. We'd won state championships, and this kid's going to be in the Junior Olympics. So I got him publicity, and I brought it kind of to be – I went out. Here's what I did at the school, too. I went and I bought the coolest sweats suit that anybody had on campus, and I gave to our swimmers. And every other sport wanted them, but they couldn't have them because swim team had them. And we made swimming kind of cool. It's kind of a cool deal.
So when did you get to stop coaching swim? When did you retire as a champion swim coach?
I'm not sure it was a retirement. I think it was they found somebody that drove the bus better than I did.
Yeah.
It was when I got to be the head coach of another team. That was kind of, it was very time consuming. It really was 4:30 in the morning until 7 in the morning every day of the year. And it was a $1,000 stipend. So it was not the most lucrative gig.
That was the whole pay for that job?
Yeah.
$1,000.
$1,000 for that number of hours, that many. So when I got to be the head coach of the girls basketball team, the AD said, we need somebody that can do this a little better than you are. And I was gladly relinquished my title to somebody that actually had been to a swim meet before I had.
So whenever you're an assistant basketball coach at the school, was your dream to be a collegiate coach, or was it to just be the best high school coach in the state?
Yeah, not initially, because I didn't have it not played. I didn't know for sure how it would go. Initially, I just thought I wanted to go be the high school coach at Greenwood, Arkansas. I wanted to go back home and do that. But I had a heart attack at 29, wow. A genetic defect in my heart. And at 29, I was the high school coach at Cabot. And when it happened, and that was when it changed me to wanting to be a college coach.
What did you do differently? So you want to be a college coach, you go get a master's or?
No, you don't have to have a master's to coach D1. I probably didn't need to go into any more school as it was with my last GPAs. So I just got to know Coach Blair really well. A lot of people said, you know, you need to branch out and network and get to know a lot of coaches. But I had a really wise pawpaw one time that said, it's okay to put all your eggs in one basket as long as you watch thine basket.
Yeah.
You know, so I just got to know Coach Blair. And I volunteered at his camps. I volunteered every chance I got. And every time he had a job opening, I said, I'll do it. I don't care what it pays. So finally, he had a job that paid $14,000. I was making $72,000 as a high school coach. And I said, I'll take it. And he spent the next 3 hours trying to talk me out of it. I said, well, you already offered me the job, coach. Why? So I took the pay cut and jumped into it.
What was the job?
I was called Director of Basketball Operations, which is a big, big title. I should have been his Diet Coke guy. That was my first job, was to make sure he had Diet Coke at practice. So like I had been taught, I said, okay, coach, do you want that in a cup? Do you want it in a can? Do you want it out of a fountain? Do you want crushed ice? Do you want Sonic ice? Do you want cubed ice? What do you want? So I did the best job I could at being that until he let me drive him around, until he let me do a little stuff more and more and more and more. So that was my first job. Glorified Diet Coke guy.
Coach, the heart attack, though, at such a young age, and you go into a career where you're just going to be yelling and stressing out the whole time. How do you manage that?
My heart rate doesn't get above 120. They've had me on monitors. I think because of the heart attack, I have this perspective on maybe it's not as big a deal as everybody. I mean, it is stressful, don't get me wrong, but I don't stress about it. I think because I've had the heart attacks, and that it has helped me try to be as calm as I can. A lot of my players will say, you know, I'm calm because coach is calm. If he's calm, I can be calm. So I hope that's turned out to be a positive thing. It was a genetic thing too. So we got it under control. I'm not really worried about it happening again. My doctors have all said, I think in a nice way, it's going to be something else that you're going to get hit by a truck or you're going to have a plane, something, you know, something. Yeah. I'm like, oh, thanks. It's not going to be my heart. But that moment changed me. At 29, you realize life's that short, because he literally told me, he said, if you'd have been asleep, I think you would have died because you might not have really known it was happening. And they call it the Widowmaker vow because of that reason. So I was lucky. I've always been right time, right place guys. So obviously that one was one of those.
What was your highlight, your highest moment in high school coaching?
High school coaching?
Yeah, before you left.
I had a team. It's kind of a three-year window. I had a team that was finished 1-24, won one game. And the game we won, believe it or not, we hit a jump shot at the end of the third quarter to win it because nobody scored in the fourth, believe it or not. That team played for the state championship 2 years later.
Most of the same crew.
We just got better and better, and we stuck. We had a move in or two, don't get me wrong. But that group, that was probably the pinnacle of high school coaching for me.
And then when you – what was your first collegiate job here with Coach Blair?
It was.
So, but then you have to leave again, right?
Yeah.
You have to leave because it's a job. It's a journeyman job.
It is.
But with the idea, hopefully, of coming back too?
That was the plan. Yeah, and I came back again in between. So I started with Coach Blair. I went to Tulsa. I followed that coach to Colorado. I came back to Arkansas for another time. I went to Xavier. I went to Washington. And that was where I got my first head coaching job. And then when this one came open, it was everything I could do to come back home. But, yeah, you know you're going to be – I moved 5 times in 5 years. I moved 8 times, you know. And, you know, it's one of those deals that you know you have to do that to, at the end, hopefully be able to be somewhere for a long time.
When did you realize that this was, like, the thing you were pretty good at?
Well, there's a picture of it over there. I was an assistant coach at Xavier. We had a young lady who missed a couple of layups to go to the Final Four. I mean, smoked them. I mean, wide open. And for something in me, rather than be upset about miss, I sprinted onto the court and I picked her up off the floor and I just hugged her and shielded her. And I still to this day don't know what made me do it. But that was, I knew after looking back on it, I said, I'm supposed to be a coach. If something in my body reacted, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. It's not, I was still an assistant. I almost quit coaching. I had tried to become a head coach. I was an assistant for 14 years. I was at Xavier at a spot where I thought I was going to get the job and I didn't. And I almost just, you know, decided I was going to get out of coaching and come home and sell drugs and flip house, pharmaceuticals.
Whatever you got to do, coach.
Pharmaceuticals.
Tough environment out there.
I was going to sell pharmaceuticals and flip houses. I really thought about it for a while. But I took that job at Washington. That ended up leading down. And so, you know, it's one of those jobs where you have to kind of think that way.
What's the difference in that we don't understand? Okay, you're the number one assistant, but now you're the head coach. Like whenever they move you up at Washington and you're the head guy,
yeah.
Immediately, what did you not know you were going to have to be?
Well, you've got to make the decisions instead of the suggestions. You know, all those great suggestions I'd had as an assistant coach – and I was like, oh, he's not doing that. You know, why aren't they using my idea? The amount of decisions you had to make on a daily basis. And not only the amount of it, but the number of people it affected. Like today, if I want to change practice time, I've got to alert 59 people. And then they have families and they have people they have to alert. I had never thought about that aspect of having to be the person that makes a decision that it trickles down and affects those many people. And then the other thing that was – it's going to sound really petty, but I was at Washington the Friday before I was the assistant coach. We went out on a little excursion and I had like a little Subaru SUV, mini SUV or whatever. Every kid's trying to pile in there with me because I was cool and had the cool music and whatever. I had like 10 people trying to get in my car. The next Friday I was the head coach and I had the big SUV and we were going to go out to a dinner to celebrate and nobody wanted to ride with me. And I was the same guy. But your job had changed.
Right.
So, like, that was hard on me for a while. Like, because you're not going to be liked all the time. And their decisions are tough. And it's going to have – no, you're going to make somebody mad probably. I struggle with that. And I'm not telling you I don't still struggle with that a little bit today because that's just – that's hard. But the two big things were having to make all these decisions and learning that you can run out of energy to make decisions. It's why the presidents don't pick out their own clothes or where they're eating. Because you can exhaust yourself of your energy of making decisions on stuff that's trivial.
The last 10 years or so, seemingly from, you know, 10,000 feet up, the recruiting has changed. It's seemingly so much more than it had in any clip of time. Because, again, all the rules have changed from the portal to NIL to how much adapting have you had to do? How much changing have you had to do just in your day-to-day CEOing and coaching?
A lot. I mean, you have to scrap what you did 2 years ago. It literally changes every day now. I mean, the price of recruiting, and I don't mean the dollar amount. We're not talking about NIL. I'm just saying the things you have to do to stay on that cutting edge. to be attractive to the best players in the country. I have to have people surrounding me because I'm not the one that can keep up with what's cool and what trend, how are we going to communicate with these people? So I've got to employ an unbelievable staff of people who are up on that. And then I just have to be available. As long as I make myself available to them to do whatever they tell me to do, I can stay in the thick of it. But it's a complete 180 degree shift from what it was 2 years ago.
Final three questions. You have a lot of books in this office. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
So
even your book.
Yeah, I think that was a setup, though.
It was not a setup.
I'm going to tell you why I think it's a setup, Coach. Hold on.
Interesting.
I have a theory about this. You walk in, and obviously either coach is well-read or has just spent a lot of money on books. One of the two. And it could be either one. I know people that have done both.
Okay.
Not going to hate. But again, there are so many books in this office that I feel like you've probably read a few of them. Now, why – I'm looking at your – there's four books on your desk. There's 500 around here. Just playing the numbers game. Yep. Analytics. Data. Yep. What are the odds that my book would be on your desk randomly when I show up?
Well, it's not random because I want you to sign it before you leave, but it was in that
stack.
Well,
you act like it was just sitting on your desk. Oh, it was in the stack when you guys got here?
No, it was in the stack when I got here this morning.
It's on his desk. Yeah, I don't believe this at all.
Okay. It was in my stack with all the other white books over there. You can ask anybody
around.
There's
a price tag on it. Bought today at half price books, looks like.
The receipt's still there.
Yeah, it's still there.
Every book in here has been read. And anybody that's
– Really?
Every book in here has been read. And anybody that's around me can tell you the story about me and behind reading. But if they're on my desk, I'm in this process of reading them. If they're in that book bag over there on the corner, they are my favorite books. If they are stacked under here, they're the ones I'm going to give anybody in this room. If y'all want a copy of Speed of Trust, I buy every copy I can find and I hand them out to anybody that comes in here and asks me about reading. I was an awful reader at the age of 40, and I took a test online and I read at the eighth grade reading level, and that's embarrassing. And I wanted to become a better reader, so I started reading, and I got better and better and better. I got to where I could read 900 words a minute. And with comprehension. So that's when I started pouring through every copy of everything I could ever read. I'm not that fast anymore because for every book I read, I write at least 10 pages and I go back, alternate it back and forth. But your book has been read since I was coming to Nashville a couple of years ago when we were going to connect. That was when I got a copy of that book. And
why don't you write a book? If you write so much,
I've had a lot of people say, and I think I will when I retire and I'm not coaching. I've got a bunch of pieces that I think we could write into a book right now. I've written 2,000 pages worth of stuff. I had a newsletter I shared that went out to 75,000 coaches that went out weekly. I wrote in those things. I think I could probably put it together. It's a lot of other people's thoughts that I've kind of made into my own. And some are stories about my pawpaw. That's, I think, the book that I'll publish is my pawpaw neighbor's stories. Because he was such a wise man without an education. I think I will write a book someday. It's just not something right now that I want to do, but I think I will in time.
Yeah, it sucks to write it. It sucks. It's Bobby's awesome.
Three.
Saying three questions about the books, but yeah, everything in here has been read and it's all coded and you can talk to my administrative assistant down there.
It's got the Dewey Decimal System in here. You pull the cards out.
We tried that and we had stacks everywhere. It was going to be leadership. It was going to be body language. It was going to be all these different. And then finally I just said, forget it. Just put all the blue books together, all the red books together, all the yellow books together. Cause I do remember what color books are. And that's the way I remember them. Like that's a yellow cover book or that's a green box.
Plus, it looks cool. It just looks. It looks
awesome. It's got a little better. Yeah, there's a little discrepancies around, but
I'm colorblind. It looks 10D.
Yeah.
But there's also like a DVD collection here, and I see some movie pictures here.
Yeah,
you got Star Wars, Bull Durham,
correct?
Rocky. What's your favorite? Let's say sports movie, and then movie in general.
A Few Good Men, number one. You may not know this about me, but I do have my top 1,000 movies ranked in order on IMDb. You can look it up when we leave. 1 through 1,000.
What do you mean? How do we look that up?
That's intense.
I can pull it up on its webpage.
Wait, we can go on. We can find it on the internet?
Yeah, right now.
What's the domain?
IMDb.com. It's this huge internet.
No, I know what that site is, Coach. I'm saying, but how do we find yours?
Top Mike Neighbors.
You heard of it, Bones?
And you just went on. So you have like an account?
Here's what happened. I was in Seattle. This came up in an interview that I had my top 1,000 movies ranked, and somebody said, I don't believe you. I said, here you go. I have them typed out. They're in order. They're my favorite list. It's been well documented. It's been well thought through. Few Good Men, number one. It's never been touched. The top 10 has moved around some.
Never been touched even by Forrest Gump.
No. Forrest Gump, I think, is 11. Wow. Maybe slid to 14. I'll check when we – but we do this as bar bets. I'll tell people to name a movie, and I can tell you where it falls within my top 1,000 within a few. But it's ranked. And when so somebody in Seattle heard about it, and IMDb reached out to me and said, "Would you please publish your list?"
Oh, that's cool.
So it's out there. Published. I guess I am published now that I think about it.
Yeah, sports movie on the internet though.
We found it.
Yeah, I got it. Hunt for Red October is number two.
Hunt for Red October.
Oh. The Silence of the Lambs, number three. Hoosiers, four.
That's my favorite sports movie.
Hoosiers. Yeah. Oh, Brother, We're Out There's five. Moneyball, six. Top Gun, seven. I'm going to do all thousands. So you guys fast forward for a little bit.
I'll tell you what 1,000 is. Mamma Mia.
Which Dark Thirty was that? Huh?
Original Top Gun?
Yes.
I've never seen the other one. The new one? You seen the new one?
Yes.
I haven't seen it. Is it good? Purple Rain 10. That's good. Love Shawshank Purple. 11. Ooh, kind of low.
Ooh, 11.
Yeah. And Forrest Gump, though. List. Same year. Shawshank and Forrest Gump. Same year.
What is Forrest Gump?
12.
Oh, so what happened was Moneyball moved up, so that one moved down one.
And I think you're referring to, I think, Forrest Gump knocking Shawshank out, or was it the opposite?
Well, those two plus, what's the Royale with cheese?
Oh, Pulp Fiction.
Same year.
All best pictures.
Yeah, all best pictures. And I think one of, I don't know which one.
All great. But this is my list.
Yeah.
It's not the best movies of all time. My criteria was this. If one was on TBS and one was on TNT, what am I watching? Mm-hmm. And Few Good Men is that movie for me. I will watch
Hitch.
It start to
it's
finish.
Hitch for me.
Hitch is 30. It's in the 30s.
Is it really?
Keep going. Yeah. You're going to get to it pretty quick. I love Hitch.
Field of Dreams there?
Field of Dreams is pretty high. It's pretty high. And so, like, I have these arguments, people, and everybody goes, oh, that's too low. And I'm saying, well, make your list.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
because
my list.
You'll be surprised how quick you get to 80.
Yeah.
Like, there's good movies in the hundreds on this list. And I this is not the most updated. I have a working, living document that every time I watch a movie, I put it into the ranking.
What's the last movie that you watched that made the list?
Last movie I watched to be into the list? Mm-hmm. What was the last? It was the Oppenheimer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That made the top 1,000 list?
I don't want to seem really weird, but it's over 3,700 now.
Oh, wow.
That's just...
I take medicine for my OCD being a little out of control sometimes. Are you OCD?
Probably, but it's not medicated.
Okay. Maybe you should, is my point. I have some.
Can we try?
I have some.
Is this one of those ones that I could try and it wouldn't...
It wouldn't affect you at all.
Part of the deal is I don't sleep a lot. I never did even prior to having a young family and all that. But
I wonder why you have a heart attack, Coach.
I don't know. But that was before.
That was way before.
Post-hoc ergo propter hoc.
He's like, I haven't blinked in 3 months and I never sleep, but I can't figure out how my heart's breaking down. A couple more of these movies. I'm only at one... Like, I'm in the hundreds.
Well, come on,
but
man.
111 is a Gladiator.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Which is awesome.
It is a great
awesome.
Movie. But be surprised how quick. Now, I also have my top 57,000 songs ranked in order.
Wow.
And on the playlist.
What's number one?
Well, go to billboard.com. They're all up there that he's a published.
I'm not on that one, but that's what I did during COVID, was I made a music list and a playlist of all those songs.
Wow.
Yeah.
And number one is?
Sweet Child of Mine.
Let's go.
I know. Let's I know go, I get ridiculed for it an awful lot.
What's wrong with Sweet Child of Mine?
It was my favorite song. I'm not saying it's the best song of all time.
And it's not. You're right. And it's not. By any means, it's not the best song. But
it's not even their best song.
Yeah. Like, I'd have gone like November Rain.
It's fine.
Guns, but it's
Make
you're right.
Your list.
It's definitely your. I do have a list.
Bring me your top 57,000.
No, I'll pass out. I have a heart attack before I get to 57,000.
Get to 100.
But I got it's like hard. I've done like top 25. Like, I know my top five, which is like Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain, right. Stop This Train, John Mayer, Ain't No Sunshine, Bill Withers. Like, I can probably get to 20, Matt Stell.
Pray for You.
What's that one that goes, in it time I pray for you.
Yeah, Pray for You. Yeah. That's number four?
No, it's 5,719.
Check it.
I just know where that one is.
Check it right now. Check it right now.
Okay, well, how about that? Have you seen, I haven't read the book that you pass out. And I like to read. What is that book? The Sound of Time?
Speed of Trust.
Okay. Have you ever... Do you have a bunch of copies in here?
Yeah, I'm going to give you
one. Okay, I'm going to take one. Have you ever seen Man on the Moon?
Man on the Moon?
Yeah, no. About Andy Kaufman.
Oh, no. Okay. I'd love to see it.
So,
is it a movie?
Yes.
Yeah. Andy Kaufman died before I knew. Oh, I read Shift Your Mind. That's a really good one.
It's really good. He's a great guy.
Who?
The author.
Oh,
Levinson,
really?
Brian Levinson.
Do you know who I was hanging out with on Zoom the other day? It was Malcolm Gladwell.
No kidding.
We're doing a project together.
I can't wait to read it.
I saw a bunch of
I've got them all over there.
Yeah. He was.
Well, how cool are you guys?
He's super interesting.
He all of his books are one that I pass and share out. Every single one of them that he has.
Yeah, I geeked out. And we both get to be around cool people all the time, but there's some people. And for me, it's always like old school Razorbacks and authors. And I'm always like, man, you're like Malcolm Gladwell. I just like stare at him.
Yeah. the mind of the people like Gladwell that write like that, and the Freakonomics people that blow mm-hmm. me away, that the way they think. Yuval Noah Harari, a new writer that's out that wrote Sapiens.
I read Sapiens. It took me a while because that book is huge. What was crazy to me about Sapiens, we'll geek out with each other for a second.
Yeah.
Sapiens, what was crazy was when they talked about the humans that would survive, they're the first ones that could stand because they could see.
That's right.
Because they were on all fours.
That's right.
And that's, we were all on all fours, but the ones that really thrived were the ones that could stand on two because they lifted higher, and had higher vision.
Farther on the horizon.
Crazy.
And it's why we have, it's why when you hear something rustle in the woods, if you better assume it's a lion and not the wind. We still have those tendencies.
Our brain goes to war.
Oh, a lion in Arkansas?
Yeah, man, they're everywhere. Lions are everywhere.
They're, okay. Got them out in the wild.
Wake up, Eddie.
Be careful when you go outside.
So I'm gonna read that book, and then you watch. Yeah.
I'll watch Man on the Moon.
Man on the Moon, because
I like Andy Kaufman.
True story. Yeah. Oh, and you know who Andy Kaufman is?
Oh, I remember when Jerry Lawler slapped him on the.
Dude. Yes.
I mean, I know exactly who he's, and I'm sitting here wondering to myself, how did I miss that movie? Because I've
making a list of your top 70 million right. cereals,
and Jim Carrey. Yes. Jim Carrey plays him.
Does Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
And it's awesome.
I bet it is phenomenal. I'm shocked I haven't missed it.
Like, Letterman's my hero, but Andy Kaufman, I never got to see him.
In his prime?
Or ever. I mean, he died in early 80s.
Yeah.
And so, or like 81. So I never, but the things that he would do that weren't even supposed to be funny, that were just, let's see what everybody's reaction is.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read that book. You watch my movie.
And we'll compare
We'll check
notes.
Back in.
I can't wait.
Okay. One final.
You guys want to give me an assignment?
Yeah,
you want me to read the Serpent? I can read the Serpentine.
We're going to have you go through my top 57,000 song list and check for duplicates.
That I could do.
That's funny. All right, final question, Coach.
Okay.
The very first game you coach as the head coach here at your alma mater, the school that you love.
Yeah.
When you walk out the first time, let's say the first home game.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if your first game was a home game or not.
It was not, but I remember the first home game very well.
Like, talk to me about that.
Just the whole day was so, you know, people say numbing, people say, but that's the best way I could describe it. It was just floating on air. It was, everything was in slow motion. First time I heard my name announced over the loudspeaker, the hog call for the first spontaneous time. It hit different than when I was fan, you know, growing up, the boy that my granddad was taking to all the games, and it just hit completely different. And even as an assistant coach, I had been here twice as an assistant coach, and I'd heard the fight song. I had heard all that. But when it's your team,
mm-hmm.
it is, and I know it may sound corny, it still feels the same today. It has not gotten old. It has not been and I think that is the difference. When you talk about people who coach at their alma mater, that's what you get. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm going to be any more successful than somebody that wasn't born in this zip code. But I do care about it, a deeper understanding and appreciation, I think. And I hope that comes out to our kids and the way I protect them and then the way I support the other coaches on our campus during their times. Because, like I said, I'm first and foremost a Razorback fan of all 18 sports and then try to do the best to make fans out of the sport that I get to coach.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. NFL fans, it's time to unwrap nonstop football action this holiday season. Throw down on big matchups with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on the NFL and score $150 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings app and use the code BOBBYSPORTS to get in on the action. Put that in, please. That would help us. New customers can bet $5 on NFL action to score $150 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook. With the code BOBBYSPORTS, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help's available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh my, look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
All right, that was it. Thank you, guys. We're done. We will be back next week with two new shows. We did one. Well, I mean, this counts as a show.
Yeah.
I mean, we humiliated ourselves in public. Eddie was not here.
We need to have him play by himself.
Well, the questions are stupid.
Yeah.
A lot of them are like, I don't know anything about cricket or Roland Garros, although I might have got that one. Guess one thing that's happened in the last week in football before we go.
Hate this game. Guess one thing that's happened. That's gonna happen.
Yeah, no, that happened because it's already happened. We're putting this episode after a week of us not being on. Predict the future, but it's actually the past.
The Cowboys lose again.
Wow.
Paying more tax.
Paying more tax, baby.
Wow, the tax man will not stop coming.
Yep.
Reed.
T Swift and Travis Kelce broke up.
Wow, already? That was so sad.
I know. I feel like it's, yeah. I didn't see it coming, man.
Wow, okay. And I'm going to go with the Raiders have just made their interim head coach official. Because I think he probably deserves the job. And it already happened in my mind. So there we go.
Congrats, Antonio Pierce.
And, you know, he's a defensive guy.
Yeah.
I don't really love defensive coaches now in the modern NFL. Is your eye okay?
Yeah, why?
Looks like it's kind of blinking oddly.
Right.
Oh, there's a big light behind
you? Yeah, the big old light behind you.
But Antonio Pierce and Dan Quinn would be the two guys that I'd give a job to. I think it's about Dan Quinn's time.
Yeah.
Especially if I were going into, like, a culture that didn't have it. A culture. He'll set a culture.
A culture.
Like Dan Campbell does.
Mm-hmm. Washington, maybe, if that opens up. But yeah,
You guys have a great holiday. We'll see you next week. And
wait. I read it wrong. I thought they broke up, guys. They're actually engaged.
Oh God!
I take that back.
God,
sorry. I saw something.
How did it
there.
Happen?
So he stopped in the middle of the fourth quarter.
Oh, he did it on the field.
What?
Yeah, it was amazing. It was yeah.
Did you shed a tear?
I did, man. He pulled it out of his back pocket. Actually,
he was wearing the pocket. He had the pocket in his pocket during the game.
It was
and nobody
all
saw
time,
it,
man.
Even though the pants were on
it
so
was
tight.
Crazy.
It was like T.O. with the Sharpie, but it's a ring.
Yep.
Oh. Wow. But it's pocket, not his like sock.
And he like mouthed it to her while she was in the box. She like didn't really know.
He didn't even propose from right at her. He was on the field.
She didn't even know what he was saying, but she was just like, you know, in the box. Like, I think I know what you're talking about.
Did she say yes?
Yeah, she said yes. She ran out there. Then she subbed in for him. It was crazy.
Then she played tight end?
It was nuts, man.
Oh, my God.
Scored a bunch of fantasy points?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have her? Did you start her?
Yeah, man. She was an amazing prop bet. Yeah. I placed that.
Nice. All right.
Reed has never been funnier than right
now.
That was
good. That was good, Reed.
All right. We will see you guys next week. Bye, everybody.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring.
Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.